morning to you all. We welcome you here to Grace Bible Church today. In our call to worship today, I want to read to some of the worst advice ever given to a daughter from a mother. You say the Bible has something to say? Yes, it does. Ruth chapter 1, I'm reading beginning at verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited the people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said, now here's the worst advice, said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. Now think about what she was saying there. Don't come with me back to the land of promise in Judah. You go back to your mother's home where they worship Chemosh. Chemosh was a horrible god that was worshipped by the Moabites. He was akin to another god by the name of Molech. Many of you have read about Molech. Chemosh had the same worship system. It was the offering of infants to the god by placing their hands in a burning god, brass god with its hands extended. They would put the baby on there and roast the baby as a gift to the god. That's how horrendous it was. Naomi said, you go back to your mother's house. Go back to your gods. She says that later on when she said concerning Orpah, and she, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back, verse 15, unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Again, how does a person come to that place? We're going to deal with that today. A mother in need of mentoring, an older mother in need of mentoring. It's a very sad statement that's made here. One of them did go back and went back to her people and to her gods. But one didn't. She took on a project. It was her mother-in-law. What a picture is given to us of how Ruth was an inspiration to Naomi. And at the very end, Naomi praises the fact that Ruth was able to have a son and raise up seed for the family. But my point is this. Here she was. She had an opportunity to bring those two girls out of that pagan culture and bring them to the land of promise. But she had a God problem. Naomi did. She blamed God for everything that had happened to her. We're going to deal with that this morning. I hope and pray that as people of God, that we never come to the place where we blame God for our circumstances, blame God for things that happen in our lives, physical problems, the loss of a loved one, whatever it is. A tendency is humanity, blame God. It's His fault. He could have stopped it. The point is that it's never God's fault. God's holy and righteous. He never makes a mistake. Do we believe that? He never makes a mistake. So no doubt the problem is with us. And she recommended to both of her daughters, go back to your mothers, go back to your gods. What a missed opportunity with Orpah to bring her to the land of promise. We're going to deal with the subject today of a great daughter makes for a great mother. And we're going to look at Ruth and how she took Naomi under her wing and was able to lead her back to God. And here she was, a young lady that says, I want your God. I don't want my gods anymore. I want your God. And how she called upon the name of Jehovah and Elohim. There's a play on words in this passage on Elohim. That's the same word that Naomi used to refer to the gods of Moab. It's lowercase e, obviously. We need to understand and know that there are daughters today that are in need of mentoring, but there are also mothers that are in need of mentoring. And we as believers in Christ need to be there to encourage, to help, and to acknowledge when there's difficulty of pointing someone to Christ and to be that one that doesn't sit there and degrade and make fun of them and poke fun or whatever, but instead comes alongside and lifts them up and points them to the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be that kind of people today.
Begin our singing this morning with number 10 in your hymn books, number 10. We want to sing Now Thank We All Our God, number 10. We'll sing verses 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2, number 10. Let's go ahead and stand as we sing.
Father, we thank you this Mother's Day for our mothers and our life. You gave us the best gift, a gift of salvation through your Son, King Jesus of Nazareth. But you also gave us a blessing with the mothers that we had in our lives. And we thank you for the mothers. And we thank you for this day. Give all the mothers here today a special blessing. And throughout the rest of this year. And we pray today for our country. We're in a terrible shape. And we need help, sir. And our help can only come from the throne of heaven. We pray for your children, the nation of Israel. They're in a terrible situation. And they need their father to lead them and to guide them and direct them. And we pray for the school as it comes to a close, that it will finish strong and there will be blessings and healing and salvation. And we ask today for the message that it will be strong and clear and that we will understand it and take it to heart. Thank you, Father, for all our blessings that you bestow on us, things that we're not even aware of, things that we take for granted. Thank you, Father, in King Jesus of Nazareth's holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And we're going to sing number 212. 212 as we consider our Lord, who is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, Savior like a shepherd, lead us. Number 212. 212.
Promise to receive us.
turn to 671 before our special this morning. 671, the Lord loving him and knowing him, it's sweeter as the years go by. 671, we're seeing the first and last, verses 1 and 3, 671.
People say, Amen. Appreciate that special. My Savior, first of all. What a glorious thing. The first person we want to see when we get to heaven is not our aunts and uncles and grandpas and grandmas. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, because it was on His merits that we're there at all. And we give Him glory and praise. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Ruth today. I am going to be dealing with something that just the Lord laid on my heart in my own personal study. Reading through the book of Ruth again, and then every year I'm always praying that the Lord would give me the right messages for Mother's Day and Father's Day and Memorial Day, all the different days throughout the year to focus our hearts and minds on the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. And I was reading through Ruth recently, and the Lord just impressed upon me something that I really never had processed or thought about in regard to Ruth and her relationship to Naomi. And reading this book has emphasized more deeply how Ruth was a great daughter. She was a great daughter. Ruth wasn't like her mom. She wasn't with her mom on Mother's Day. They didn't have Mother's Days back then. All we know about Ruth's mom, in fact, is that Ruth left her behind. And she found another mother. And it would be her mother-in-law, Naomi, who had moved from Judah to the land of Moab during a time of great famine. And it was there that she would meet Mahlon, one of the twins, and would marry him, and they would be married for 10 years, and then he would pass away, his brother would pass away, and the father, Elimelech, would pass away. And so as a result, we find that she's left alone with Naomi. And we're going to be looking today at some of the scriptures related to this passage of scripture, because Naomi comes across as a very bitter person. She's a very bitter person. If you look in chapter 1, and let's look toward the end of that chapter, verse 19 says, "So they two went out until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." Welcome home, Naomi. Can you imagine that day when she comes back after 10 years of being gone and the family comes rushing up? Is this Naomi? Oh, we're so glad to see you. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Now, what does Naomi mean? Pleasant. Don't call me pleasant. Call me Mara. Why? What does she say about God? Right? Yeah. The hand of the Lord's been heavy against me. Don't call me pleasant. Don't call. She had a big problem. She had a big problem. She didn't want Ruth to come back with her. She didn't want Orpah to come back with her. She wanted to go back to her family and just figure out from there what was going to happen. But what Naomi did not realize was that Ruth would be the secret to her blessing. Are you following me here? What Naomi didn't realize at the time was that Ruth would be the source of blessing and help for her that would raise up seed to her family. Sometimes, folks, we allow circumstances to cloud our thinking. Circumstances to cloud the way we perceive our God. And we even come to the place where we'll tell others, you don't want to be a part of me. You don't want to have a part with me. You just go your separate ways. The Lord's been dealing with me in a heavy way. I think about Naomi here as someone who needed a mentor. Now, the normal thing in the scriptures, and we're told this in Titus, by the way, that the older men are to be the mentors of the younger men, and the older women are to be the mentors of the younger women, to teach them and to help them to understand. And that's within the church, all right? Within the church. But sometimes, the older women need to be mentored by the younger. And in this case, Naomi was struggling with God. And Ruth comes to the scene and says, I will go where you go, and I want your God. Now think about what Ruth had to go past to come to that understanding. She had to go past Naomi's bitterness. She had to go past Naomi's view of Ruth's family. Go back, why don't you go back like Orpah did to her mother and go back to her gods? Now, I wouldn't call that an active witness for the Lord, would you? To wish somebody to go back to their pagan roots? Go back to that like your sister did. Ruth had to go past all that because she, in her heart, wanted to help her mother, Naomi, her new mom of 10 years. She had already left her mom. And she said, I want to be with you. I want to help you. I want us to look today at some things that are brought out from the text here about a different kind of daughter. Ruth was really putting in her own heart and mind faith above her family. Have you ever done that? Put your faith before family? There are a lot of families that struggle. There are a lot of families that don't have very good influences. And some people put family ahead of faith in Christ. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples? If a man is not willing to leave his mother and father and sister and brother, he is not worthy to be my what? Disciple. That's pretty strong language, is it not? Now, is he saying, all right, everybody, I want you to leave your mom and dad and your brothers and sisters? Is that what he's saying? No. There is first priority. First priority. You know, one of the things that they say when you get on an airliner, whenever you get on a jet and they go through all the things where the stewardess stand in the aisle and they pull out the belt and they take it, you know, nobody knows how to use that. You know, but they do it every time. They put the belt up there and they snap it and they take it. And then they have the plastic mask. All right? And they take it and they pull that thing back. I'm waiting for them to shoot one down the aisle and hit somebody. Because the last flight I was on, boy, that girl just pulled that rubber band way out here. And I was waiting for it to go flying. She pulled it out and she put it on her face, you know, and then pulled. You know how they teach them how to do the artistic pull down of the thing and the cord, and then you wrap around the little vest and so forth like that. But one of the things that they say, don't do your child first. Do yourself first. Now, the natural instinct of a mama is to make sure all the kids get the mask on. But why do they say that, Mr. Delta Pilot? Yeah, whoa. He remembers. Yeah. Anybody know what hypoxia is? Let's say that the cabin pressure goes to zero. All right? Seconds to act. You get that mask on first so you can help your children. Yeah, but my children are going to pass out first. Yeah, but if you pass out, you can't help them. Right? If you pass out, you can't help them. So you get the mask on first and then you're breathing. All right? And then you can put the little mask on the kids and get them all going here. Now, there's a point to this. There's a point to this. What had Naomi done? At this juncture, you know the story of Ruth. I'm not telling anything new today. What had Naomi done? She had basically said, I'm not putting the mask on. You go do your thing, girls, and I'll go do mine. Because God has put his hand against me. Now, I can't think of any sadder words for a mother to utter than to say something like that, go do your thing, go after your gods, You don't want to come with me because my God has failed me. That's in essence what she said. Look at her choices and decisions that followed. When her relatives come out, they're excited to see her. How many? Whenever Mallory and Philip drove up in the driveway, Eva didn't come out. Don't talk to me. I'm having a bad day. Is that what you said? No. Yeah. There was excitement. The slow motion run from Mama to Mallory. You know, you ever seen that? Two people running toward each other. That was Mallory and Eva, you know. And the Chariots of Fire song in the, playing in the background. Dun, 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 dun. And they come and they embrace each other. They hadn't seen each other in a couple of months. All right? Not so much with Philip, probably. Did they bound out the door and give you a hug? That's all right, right? Now, here's Naomi. 10 years it's been since she's seen family. And they come out, it's Naomi! Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Whoa, what's bugging her? You ever had a greeting like that from a relative? Yeah. Some of you are nodding your head. Yes, I have. Yeah. She's got a big problem. She needs help. And guess who comes to her aid? A great daughter. I want to show you here from the scriptures how, because Ruth put faith in Naomi's God first. Let's look at that in chapter 1 very quickly, because she uses two names for God that she had learned. Verse 12, turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? This is a woman with a problem. She's got a big problem. Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. The hand of Jehovah has gone out against me, she says. Verse 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth did what? What's that word there? Clave to her. Wow. And what does she say? And she said, behold, my sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from going after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Interesting. Elohim. Elohim, the Trinity. Plural. My God. Now, notice, please, verse 15, and unto her gods, you know what the Hebrew word there is? Elohim. But it's not the same gods, right? It's a manufactured god, Chemosh. The Trinity of Chemosh is referred there. That's what, you go back to them. But Ruth says, no, I'm going to go after Elohim. Right? Your God will be my God. Ruth clave to her. You know what she did? Ruth, the daughter-in-law, becomes a mentor to Naomi. And she's going to do it in some of the most practical and simple ways so that Naomi can be restored back to spiritual health. There are some times that there are older mothers, older women that need to be helped. They need to be strengthened. They need to be encouraged. And let me just say this. Daughters, are you willing to take on a project? Not me. Not me. I need someone to come do me. Oh, wait a minute. There's a different turn here. Ruth takes on the project of Naomi to encourage and strengthen her. Let's look at the ways in which she did that. I want you to see that this young woman, living far from her own family, through instinct, decides that she is going to be wise, prayerful, and take on the project of Naomi. Now, think with me for just a moment concerning what she's done here. She is leaving behind her Moabite family. Let me ask you, is that easy? Is it easy to leave family behind? As far as we know, she never returned back to the land of Moab. She left that behind. And she chose a new family. Isn't that what happens many times when people come to faith in Christ? I've spoken to some of you. You've shared testimonies of hardships with your family. Hardships with your family. I've shared many, many times about my grandmother on my dad's side and the letters and the cards that I used to get from her in college in which she blasted me. She cursed me. It was hard to take that. But I asked God to help me, and I would always send back a kind note. Graham, I'm praying for you. I know you don't understand what I'm doing. I'm training for ministry in service to Jesus Christ. I know you don't understand that. You call it brainwashing. I'm calling it growth in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I wrote that out to her so she could understand, but she never understood. And I continued after I'd send her a letter to get another. Say, I see you're brainwashed. They're brainwashing you. And she would use things to berate and to discourage. But I chose by God's grace, I wasn't going to do that. I was going to pray for Graham. She died in 1999. I don't know that she ever came to faith in Jesus Christ. She would have probably in her house, if she didn't throw them away, at least 10 tracts from J. Vernon McGee that I sent her. He wrote in such a simple fashion with communicating the gospel. I sent those to her. I would order them from his ministry and would send them to her. He was alive at that time, and he had a lot of different gospel tracts and so on. I was concerned about my grandmother, but it wasn't easy. She needed Christ. She needed Christ. And there are believers, Christian, that sometimes need mentoring. They need help. And we need to be the ones to sense the need, like Ruth did, sense the need and says, where you go, I'm going. Where you live, I'll live. And your God will be my God. But Naomi had to be retrained about the knowledge of her God. Does everybody understand that? She needed to be retrained because she was accusing God of hurting her. And God never hurts. God only helps. They had gone to a land where they had no business to go to start with. Here's the excuse. Here's the excuse. There's food over there. But by the way, do you notice that Boaz never left the land? Boaz would have been alive. He would have probably been in his 20s when they left the land to go. He never left. Boaz stayed there. The relatives never left. They stayed there in Judah, and they were still alive when Naomi got back. How did that happen? There wasn't any food there. Right? Oh, maybe it was a panic decision that they made, and they went over to Moab, and there, dad dies, two sons die. And the only thing that Naomi has left are the two girls that married the two sons. Now, it looks like God didn't take care of them. It looks like that. But that wouldn't be the case. The case was they made a choice and a decision to leave the land of promise that God said for the Israelites to remain in, stay in the land. They disobeyed God. And they got the consequences that came. Do we still believe in consequences anymore? I don't think so. I think a lot of people don't believe in that. We avoid them like the plague. We don't want any consequences. We don't want to give consequences. We don't want consequences coming. I hate to tell you this. They're going to come. They're going to come. When you disobey God, He chastens those that He loves. That's a faithful God. He's a faithful God, we're told. And when we disobey His clear statements in the Word, there's going to be a chastening if you refuse to turn back to Him, come back to Him. Remember what He says, draw nigh to Me and I will draw nigh unto you. Responsibility. Let's pick up with this. What did Ruth do? And I'll finish this up quickly here. What did she do? There are many things that we find here that she did. She reached out instead of just reaching in. Are you listening to me here? She reached out to help rather than simply reaching in to do what she wanted to do for herself. Throughout the book of Ruth, we find, I have a relative, go down to the field and glean there. Yes, ma'am. And she went down there and gleaned. And guess who she meets? Her future husband. I mean, it's the most amazing love story you'll ever read, is the book of Ruth. How God used that. She went down and she brought food every night to her mother-in-law, took care of her. She reached out rather than just reaching in. And that's where a lot of people live. They're just reaching in and they never reach out to help. She put faith before family. She reached out rather than just reaching in. And she showed compassion before self-centeredness. Compassion. She understood something about Naomi. She had lived it for 10 years. She had seen her mother-in-law. She was at the funeral when Mahlon died. She was at the funeral when Chilion died. She was at the funeral when Dad died, Elimelech. She was at the funeral and she saw her mother-in-law and the pain and the anguish that she went through. Ruth was touched. And so knowing all this, instead of being self-centered and said, I'm not dealing with this woman. Washing my hands of this one, I'm out of here. What did she do? She reached out in compassion and she put aside herself. And she was willing. You know what Naomi was asking her to do? I want you to marry Boaz. I want you to marry the nearest kinsman. She thought was Boaz. There's a little wrinkle in the story, though, isn't there? Yeah. Boaz says, I hate to tell you this, but there's another man that's closer than me. In the literate system that was there, a relative was to raise up seed to this family. And Ruth, I'm sure, went from the 10th story to the first story in about 3 seconds. There's another one. You're not it, Boaz? The Boaz that had been helping her and providing for her and the Boaz that I think she was starting to like. And she goes in the middle of the night, lays at his feet to go through the literate request to marry me so that we can raise up seed for my mother-in-law's family, Naomi. Oh, wow. Boaz says, I hate to tell you this, but there's one closer. That's the hallmark moment, you know, when another man comes into the scene, messes the whole storyline up. But what happens? What does God do? What does God do? This guy that's actually closer than Boaz is a jerk. He's a complete jerk. He loves his money more than he loves what he was supposed to do. So he takes off his shoe and he throws it in there. And what does that do? What does that do? That breaks it. He's done. And Boaz happily marries her. And they raise up seed. And what is interesting to note at the last chapter, they don't call the child Naomi's child. They call it Boaz's child. That's odd. You would think that they would say Naomi's child or Elimelech's child because that was the seed. There was no seed to carry on that name. But it says it was the child of Boaz and Ruth. This picture here is of Ruth stepping in and stopping the chaos with her mother-in-law. She is able to help. Show compassion. Yes, I know what you've gone through, Mom. But I went through it too. It was my husband that died. Your husband died. Your two sons died. But it was also my husband that died. And what we find is role reversal. Ruth is the one that's pleasant. She's the one that's pleasant. Not Mara. She took pleasantries over bitterness. That's the final point there. You can be bitter if you want to. Are you listening to me? You can be bitter, but a great daughter is not. A great daughter wants to help. And it set the stage for Ruth and Boaz, and Ruth became the great-grandmother of what great man in the future? King David. Yeah, isn't it amazing how God works things out? And it's also the line of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. A great daughter can be the makings of a great mother, but there must be that unselfish choice of a desire to help. Help. Sometimes an older mother needs a mentor. And praise God for the story of Ruth, because Ruth took up that role. Amen? She took up that role. And Naomi's a different person in chapter 4 than she was in chapters 1 and 2. Everybody sees that. You get that picture. She's no longer blaming God. For God has blessed and given a son. Thank God for the Ruths of this world. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the testimony of this little book in the Old Testament, telling us a story that's been told thousands of times. But I'm thankful today that you've emphasized something about Ruth. She took on the project of Naomi, a bitter woman, blaming God for all of her circumstances, not understanding the consequences of a choice that she and her husband had made 10 years before, not taking that into consideration at all, but rather blaming God for all the troubles and the problems that they had gone through. And yet Ruth, in spite of this anger against God, Ruth said, I want your God. Your God is the living, true God. My gods are nothing. Chemosh. Gods that are worthless, man-made, figments of the imagination. Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts today. Sometimes it's easy to complain about our circumstances. But Lord, all we're doing is sending out a cry for help. We need help. I'm thankful for friends and people that can come alongside and point people to the Savior. That's what they needed. That's what Naomi needed. She needed to understand and know that her God was not at fault. This was their choice and their decision, and these were the consequences that came. Lord, I pray that we would not blame Thee, but rather that we would respond to You with a heart of gratitude and be like Ruth. Be willing to take on a project. Be willing to be the mentoring daughter for the mother in need. And I pray on this Mother's Day that You'd work in the hearts and lives of our moms that are here. We thank You for every one of them. We thank You for their Christian spirit and attitude. Lord, sometimes there are things hidden away that nobody knows about. Hidden attitudes. Hidden things that only You know about. Lord, help us, Father, to be of help. Help us not to be so cloistered within our own families that we can't reach out beyond the walls of our home to help others in need. I pray that You'd raise up some Ruths here today that will reach out and help some moms in need. And we thank You, dear Father, for the testimony of how You worked in that whole situation. And You raised up a seed from which Your Son, Jesus Christ, would come. What a glorious testimony of this one little segment of history that's included. And I'm thankful, Father, that You forever showed to us that a great daughter can be the makings of a great mother. We We thank you for the testimony of your word, and we ask your blessing today as we honor our moms, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask all the moms to come forward and stand up here in the front for just a moment. I'm not going to torture you or torment you in any way, but I would like for us to have you come so that we can honor you and pray for you today. So, moms, would you please come? This is the slowest part of the service right here. Try to get moms to leave their spaces and come forward. We've got some moms in the nursery. We've got a mom in the... Now, here she comes out of the audio room. I just want to say how grateful I am to the moms of Grace Bible Church. I'm so grateful because on this little line right here, we probably have 250, 300 years of momhood added up. Now, you're not supposed to say that about women. I know. I'm not saying that they're individually 300 years old. I'm saying the combined motherhood represents 300 plus years of mothering. And I'm thankful for these ladies and what they mean to our church. Amen. Would you join me in a big round of applause for our moms, please? I'd like for you to all stand and move over to this side over here. Carly, if you could run through quickly and then go out into the hallway there so you can catch the moms as they leave. I'd like for you to shake their hands and let them know you're praying for them. Would you do that? Thank you so much. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for every one of these ladies. I thank you for the homes that are represented here and for the tireless activity of their hearts and of their hands as they seek to minister to their families. It's such a wonderful gift. And I pray that no one here within my hearing takes their mom for granted. And I pray that they might treat them with the utmost respect and love and reach out to help them. That's okay too. I pray that you would work in such a way to minister to these ladies your grace and your peace and your comfort and your love. And I pray also, dear Father, that you would stir within each one of their hearts to have a ministry that reaches out beyond their home to the general community of faith, but also to those that don't know Jesus Christ, that others may see it and many believe. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.